Welcome to yet another episode of Saffron Spice with Isha and Shivani. I'm Isha and with me is my co-host Shivani.
Hello everyone. If you're joining us today after listening to some of our previous episodes, you would already know this. But for those of you listening to us for the very first time, we are a podcast centered around culture. Culture that gives Indians a unique identity across the globe and culture that makes us who we are. So, Isha, what aspect of this culture are we talking about today?
Shivani, today we are talking about the pressure of being an Indian kid. Whether this kid is growing up in India or abroad, us Indians have been known to produce some of the highest number of doctors, lawyers, and engineers in the world. And being raised in that culture ourselves, we know how much pressure an Indian childhood came with. Whether we went through it ourselves or saw our friends struggling through these pressures while growing up, expectations of academic excellence and selection of certain elite professions are a huge part of Indian parenting culture. I mean, tell me, how was it for you, Shivani? Were you expected to be a doctor while you were growing up?
Maybe not a doctor, because I think my parents fairly early on knew that maths wasn't exactly my strength. But look, they did encourage me to follow a career path, one that would obviously lead to a stable financial life. How can I say this? They gave me perhaps limited freedom in, to explore my strengths, you know, my destiny and willpower.
By limited freedom, did they give you like three choices?
Two.
Two.
Well, given I couldn't be a doctor, so that meant two. Maybe even one, actually, because engineering then wasn't,
my way or highway.
Yes, very much so. But look, tertiary studies was non-negotiable, so that was very much sort of, you know, expected straight after high school. Yeah, but I was fortunate enough to attend, somewhat of a elite girls private school. And that came with, you know, my parents having to have made some sacrifices, which I was very much aware of in the early age of, 13, 14, 15.
Because they make us aware.
Oh, yeah, they do. Indian parents make us aware. They definitely do. No, but I was very fortunate. It was the least that I could do. I mean, they saw it as an investment, you know, in my education. And look, if it wasn't for them, their perseverance and, their push, I wouldn't be where I am today. So I am very grateful. But look, they were the stereotypical Indian parents in very subtle ways.
Shivani, you just, did not share your story. That's probably the story of, every Indian person who's sort of successful in India or globally. Most of Indians have chosen a certain set of professions, especially for us kids that have grown up in the 80s or kids of the 90s.
Yeah.
There were very limited set of choices and parents came with a very strict sort of parenting style. So the story you told is probably everyone's story. The experience is shared by everyone.
Yeah, and let me tell you, these strict parenting sort of values are sort of universal. You know, they're not just restricted to Indian parents in India, but very much so, I think.
This is the way in which an Indian person's thoughts are structured, and especially like back in those days.
Yeah, most definitely so. I mean, I grew up thinking, or I was made to think that, you know, studies should always be a priority. Studies came first. So by no means, you know, was I to have play dates or limited play dates. Sleepovers, what were sleepovers? Yeah, I was never allowed to have a sleepover. Like, yeah, all the other kids, like all the Gore kids were like having all these, you know, sleepovers, birthday parties. No, I wasn't allowed. But studies was definitely sort of the paramount.
Definitely. Shivani, even like globally, if we look at the global perception of Indians, you know, Indians are known to be, you know, high performers. We are known to be extremely competitive people.
Yeah.
We're known to, you know, choose a certain set of professions and we're known to excel in them. Indians are excelling in maths. Indians are excelling in science. Indians are totally dominating the tech industry. Indians are totally dominating the medicine industry. Some of the top surgeons in the best hospitals in the world are probably Indians.
Yeah.
The C-suite, the CEOs of tech companies, Indians again. If you go to question why just technology or why just medicine, why not say any creative field, why not say writing or journalism, why are Indians not leading these things? I mean, doesn't it have something with probably the way these kids were brought up, probably the type of parenting they received, right?
I mean, I think you know, there's more emphasis on job security over personal fulfillment. So, you know, Indians don't just become, you know, engineers or doctors because they have a passion for it. Like, rather than being driven by, you know, a career choice, they're more driven by opportunity. So, you know, and this goes for Indians, you know, second generation, third generation Indians, in America, Canada, Australia. They go
all over the globe.
I mean, they're going for income potential, you know, not for passion.
And that's true, definitely, Shivani. And, you know, they say in India that engineering is a profession.
Yeah.
Say you're passionate about writing.
Mm-hmm.
Writing is a hobby. So there's a, they distinguish between profession and hobby. So if you sort of bring up like a creative field, say, I want to become a singer. So
it
they'll say,
be.
Okay, you go and study, become a professional engineer.
Yep.
That is a profession. Becoming a scientist is a profession.
That's
you
right.
can sing for your hobby.
But and God forbid if a son or daughter, you know, wish to follow a radical path like singing or writing or, acting for that matter. Consequences.
That's devastating.
That is devastating.
That's devastating to the parent.
Most definitely. Because there's nothing, I mean, in order for them to flaunt their kids like trophies, they would have had to have done, you know, an MBA at a quite an elite institution, one in the United States. I mean, the list just goes on. So
definitely, Shivani. Don't you think that this sort of opens up the conversation about a certain type of parenting that these kids received back in the 80s and the 90s?
I mean,
in today's world, these kids that were brought up, you know, in the 80s and the 90s, these kids are leading these industries. These kids are leading these professions. But there would have been a certain type of parenting that we all received back in, you know, our time of growing up. How was it for you, Shivani? How was the parenting type for you
growing up? What it was like for me, as well as, you know, some of my Indian family friends, you know, our parents really made us believe, and especially as Indian immigrants, they made us believe that the world was really tough, and which it was, but, you know, why would they spoil it for us? They more or less told, you know, there was no Santa Claus, there was no unicorn vomiting rainbows, and the final destination was pretty much a job in either one of these fields. I mean, that, to be honest, that was what it was like.
That's true, Shivani. You know, if we go to understand where our parents were sort of coming from, or where this generation comes from, Shivani.
Yeah.
I mean, these are people who've, you know, grown up in the 60s. They've grown up in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
They saw India, you know, come out from emergency, go into the sort of early industrial revolution.
Yeah.
This was like the newly developing middle class or upper middle class. These people came in with a little education, and they saw the potential of a higher education.
Yeah, so they would have sort of been exposed to the worst as well as the best, right? So they've seen both worlds.
Exactly. They saw the transition. And, you know, this was also sort of around the time that our country was starting to have starker contrasts. Mm-hmm. The ideas of, you know, extreme wealth, corruption, sort of those were becoming really strong. This generation of parents that we're talking about, they understand that education is the only way out of this darkness or this corruption culture that is building up in the country. You know, the idea of you know, higher education will result in a high paying job, which will be a great life, a great quality of life. It's sort of your way out of this bad system.
But I think you know, the unfortunate side of that is it really does burden children with extremely high expectations. I mean, children, they're not taught how to deal with failure.
It's not an option for
us. It's not an option.
Failure is not an option. And, you know, you talk about these societal pressures. I remember, like, you know, I mean, imagine for a young child, you know, a brain that has not developed completely.
Yeah.
You're so impressionable and you, you know, go to like a social gathering and all the parents are discussing about is whose child scored how much in school.
Yeah.
You know, my child scored 80 in math and my child scored 90 in math. And you're like, you know, seeing how your parents, you know, sort of position in society is circling around how much you're scoring in school. And these are the thoughts that you're being brought up with, you know?
Which is extremely unhealthy, isn't it? And this is what, you know, leads young kids into depression and, you know, sometimes even suicide or other severe mental illnesses.
Exactly. I mean, it's either of the extremes, right? Mm. Either, you know, this child is going to take well to the pressure and start overperforming, which is what the parent really want, or which is what their sort of attempt is.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they make it so much about their happiness. They make it so much about their izzat that sort of this child really wants to please their parent and get sort of their acceptance in a way, or their acknowledgement in a way. But obviously, like, everybody is wired differently. So not everybody is going to be able to put up with this pressure. So as you mentioned, you know, we hear of post-board exam result suicides. So these things are a result of this extreme parenting style, right?
You did mention, Isha, and I do feel, you know, a lot of parents, Indian parents, do sort of want their kids to choose an option which will give them, you know, more credibility in society, right? And, you know, unfortunately, creative sort of courses don't really do it for Indian parents. It's more the science, you know, better science, science may bot school porga, you know, you grow up listening to this whilst in school, you know, it's that voice at the back of your head encouraging you to do engineering. Beta engineering mein bahut scope hoga, khas karke mechanical ya civil mein. The bar just keeps getting higher and higher, and then once you're in college, what's next? MBA. After that,
it gets higher and it gets tougher. And Shivani, I think this is, see, if we go to look at it, Shivani, we go to try to understand, you know, where they came from.
Mm.
This was the time pre-Google. You know, it was sort of everything was word of mouth. This was also the time when only sort of government jobs, so IAS, IPS, these were like the only stable professions back in the day. But you had like these set few number of people who are saying, you know, engineering is the upcoming profession. Engineering is the future of the world, you know.
Yeah.
These were the people who were putting the word out, who were saying, ki agar aapke bete ne engineering pad liya, then that's it. His life is set. This whole idea of life is set. This sort of started, you know, something started this obsession, and I think this cause and effect relationship. This was, I think, the basic structure that parents followed. You know, they heard from others that this is the field with scope.
Yeah.
So then all they had to do was, you know, take their child with an impressionable mind to understand that this was the only sort of option he had. And, you know, sam, dam, dand, bhed, whatever it took, they convinced their child to pick that profession.
Yeah.
There were no like professional counseling or career counseling type of things at that
time.
Well,
your career counselor is your parent, right?
Or that uncle who is...
Or the uncle, you know, yes.
Deciding things for their parent.
Yes. Yep, most definitely.
So it was definitely an interesting way in which, you know, parents, and of course, I mean, they were coming from a good place. They were coming from the sort of from the place of securing the future of their children. They knew that they had limitations in terms of, you know, they could not like come and tell you that yellow beta 100 crore rupee. Go and become an industrialist. That wasn't possible. Obviously, it's still not possible for anybody. Yeah. But they knew that they could, you know, push their boundaries a little bit. Mm. They knew that they could make a set number of sacrifices. They could give their child an elite education. And that would, you know, put their child in the top 10% of the world.
Yeah.
And I think generally any parent, Shivani, wants, you know, their child to have a better life than they did.
Yeah. They
don't want their child to make the mistakes that they made.
I think with Indian parents, just the balance is lacking. Whereas in the Western world, you know, it's more balanced, you know. Career isn't the be all end all. So whereas with Indian parents, it seems to be the ultimate goal.
I think in a Western sort of a family structure, the happiness index is given a lot of importance.
Yeah.
Whereas in the Indian family structure, happiness is evaluated with a certain, you know, amount of success, be it financial or professional or both, you know. So a basic understanding of what a fulfilled life might be, that understanding is different, Shivani.
Yep. And having, mind you, you know, chasing happiness or having fun, there's an idea around acquiring that much later in life. You know, when you're young, when you're studying, you know, there's no such thing as fun. That's the time to put your head down and basically stay focused on the end goal. Happiness and fun really comes at what, the age of 35?
That's what they say. That's what they say. Indians have sort of got a way to segregate different sections of their life, and it's always sort of come with a segregation. Is umar mein ye karna hai, is umar mein wo karna. So these segregations have been there in our society since the beginning. I mean, it is also the reason why Indians are so successful all over the world, and we definitely do have to thank this sort of understanding. If we are enjoying the pleasures of life, if Indians are owning the best cars in the world, if Indians are owning the best houses in the world,
and which they are,
which they are, so that we do have this sensibility to thank, which pushed us to push our own boundaries, to explore our own potential. But this approach did not work for everybody, did it? I mean, Shivani, did you know that 80% of engineers in India are unemployed today?
Wow, I didn't know that at all. I'm actually quite surprised. 80%, that's mind-boggling. So Isha, tell me, what was it like growing up for you? I mean, did you have similar expectations sort of bestowed upon yourself, or what was it like?
I actually did not, Shivani. My parents had a very different approach when I was being brought up.
Yeah.
Now, I came from a very sort of different type of a family. You know, I came from a business-centric family. So, and I was one of the few girls in my family also. So there was never sort of that amount of expectation on a girl, for that matter, to go and get a higher education.
Okay.
So, I mean, I personally was a very competitive child. So I really sort of tried to push my own boundaries, and I think I did it because my parents gave me the independence to decide things for myself. And I now that, you know, I think of it as an adult, I think that was an excellent parenting technique, where, you know, you give the autonomy to your child to decide things for themselves, and they can, you know, based on their aptitude, based on their interests, they can take their life in a certain direction. So I remember, you know, in my 10th standard, 10th standard is a very, it's like your first important exam. It decides what, you know, where you go, what college you get your admission in. So I was hoping to score like an 86. And I got a 78 or something instead. And I started like bawling my eyes out. I'm crying. And I locked myself inside this room, like as if my world has come down crashing. And I was devastated. I was like, oh, how did I score so bad and stuff? And, you know, my dad sort of, he like knocks on the door with like a piece of cake in his hand.
Yeah.
And he's like, just stop crying. Like, you're so stupid. Just like stop it. And he's like, if you combine all everybody in our family, if you combine how much we scored, we still scored less than 78. Aww. Okay, that's how well you did.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He like made a joke out of it. And he's like, this is not the end of it all. Like, it's okay. You have your whole life ahead of you. Things will figure out.
And mind you, you know, you did your undergrad and then you've gone on to do postgrad studies, so, and this was all not expected of you, and
it was not expected of me, and it worked out, and it worked out fine, and they're actually surprised at how well it went.
Wow.
So
I definitely think you're the anomaly here, Isha.
You know, the pressure in India is enough already. We are an overpopulated country.
True.
We are a developing country. We are naturally competitive people.
Yeah.
We're naturally going to figure out that it's all about survival of the fittest.
Yeah.
And we're always going to find our way, isn't it, Shivani?
Yeah. You couldn't have said it better, Isha. I think my situation was just slightly sort of, I was probably also putting more pressure on myself, because Indians are born to naturally, you know, hold this sense of fear. And it's a great fear. You know, we never want to disappoint our parents. So yes, there was more pressure that I had probably applied on myself, you know, if we were to look at it broadly, than what my parents did. And that came with being the only child. And as we know it, you know, Indians are born, you know, wanting to please. There's a sense, it's almost inherent in us to want to please our parents. So that, you know, I had this great sense of responsibility to want to make my parents proud, being the only child, being the only daughter. So
no, this Shivani, this whole idea of wanting to please our parents, like, we live our entire lives you know, just to make our parents proud. Just the biggest tearjerker thing is, you know, when like a dad tells the daughter that, oh, I'm proud of you today. And, you know, everybody's like,
and mind you, it takes a lot for an Indian dad to say...
To say that. Yep. He's probably never going to say it in his lifetime, or he's going to just say it once. And, you know, you put that in a Bollywood movie or something, and the whole movie hall is crying. Everybody has tears in their eyes.
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing I think we live for. We live for our father to tell us, beta, I'm proud of you. And that is what we
live for,
you know, sort of design our lives around. And
it's almost like the only way to live a respectable life is simply by making your parents proud. And to be honest, I don't have a problem. I don't have an issue with that. I mean, that feeds my soul. That makes me happy.
That's just who we are, right, Shivani?
Yes.
That's just who we are as Indians or as Indian kids.
In our DNA.
In our DNA. And speaking of DNA, it's just these three professions. And I think, you know, if anybody thinks that Indians have a higher aptitude for math, or Indians have a higher aptitude for science or engineering, technology related jobs, that's really not the case. Indians in their DNA don't have math or engineering. Indians in their DNA have
working hard.
I mean, being one-sixth of the world's population, out of the 7 billion in the world, 1.3 is India.
Yep.
So being that huge of a chunk, why do we only see a certain set professions dominated by Indians?
Yeah.
Isn't this worth giving a thought to?
So what makes Indians, I mean, why is it that Indians are so successful internationally?
So I think, Shivani, it's, as we obviously discussed in detail, it's definitely the way we've been brought up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, I think, just the general structure of our country, Shivani. Now, think about it this way. Every Indian is a multilingualist. We probably speak at least two languages.
Oh.
Most of us speak four or five languages.
Yeah.
Just being multilingual wires our brain differently.
Yeah.
We are from a very diverse culture.
Mm-hmm.
So we, you know, whether in India or an Indian abroad like you.
Yeah.
We'll have like family, friends, you know, from different parts of India. They all have a different culture. They all speak different languages. Yeah. They all have different lifestyles. So we're constantly learning about, you know, diversity. We're constantly on a daily basis broadening our perspective. And this brings in with it a lot of potential to, I think, just think about things differently.
Yeah.
And then when this sort of thought process, when this broader perspective is coupled with a high education, mm-hmm. which Indian kids are just required to have.
Yeah.
And of course, then we go out in the world, we get our work experience. When all of these come together, this is what makes us create wonders in the world, don't you think so?
Yeah, most definitely. And just to add to that, you know, quite often we're mistaken to, just because we've got, you know, Indians from India have strong accents, people often think that we're not that well spoken just because of our accents. But to be honest, Indians are fairly fluent in the English language. In fact, it gives us a competitive edge, you know, over other hardworking communities such as, you know, Chinese, Vietnamese, Koreans. Yeah, in fact, Indians sometimes often speak better English than native speakers of the English language. Would you agree?
I completely agree, Shivani. I've been out of India for almost a decade now, but I love my Indian accent, and
yeah.
I have never seen it coming in my way.
Yeah.
I think Indians are excellent communicators. I think we can get our points across very well, very efficiently. And you know, as you rightly pointed out, this gives us an edge over other immigrant communities.
Yeah.
And I guess that is probably why, you know, Indians are known to hold extremely high level jobs.
Mm-hmm.
We're not known to hold labor jobs.
Yep.
We're known to become like CEOs. So I think our communication skills, our networking skills, mm-hmm. our just competitiveness, our hardworking abilities, those are the reasons behind our success, Shivani.
Yeah, competition is never a bad thing, and as Indians we're exposed to extreme levels of competition, and you know, these are the results. We really are dominating.
Definitely, Shivani. But I think I personally would like to see our country now being a little more open to creative fields. I mean, I can already see it happening.
Yeah.
You know, we have so many creative people in our country. We have such brilliant writers that are coming out from our country, writing like global best-selling books. We have so much talent.
Indian designers, fashion designers, who are, you know, have been asked to showcase their designs in, you know, in the Paris Fashion Week. So
in the Paris Fashion Week, in the New York Fashion Week, we have those. We have Indian actors walking all the red carpets in Hollywood. So I think now our country is sort of embracing that creative fields have potential too. I think now the parents too can see the potential in creative fields. So I do definitely want to see Indians, guarding our agenda when it comes to the creative fields in the world too.
Yeah.
What do you think, Shivani?
No, and I think, we already are. So, yeah, give it another 10 years. I mean, especially the States. Yeah, we'll definitely be starting to see more Indians in, you know, higher positions with some of these big companies. So
our discussion also sort of brings me to sort of the current day parenting techniques. I've been abroad for almost a decade now, and we have parents in India who are raising an entirely new generation, sort of preparing them to face the world. We have a huge community of Indian immigrant parents over here in the West who are also sort of preparing their sort of breed of next generation children ready to carry the sort of Indian gene forward. So they still one would think that because they were brought up in this pressured childhood, they probably would not use the same techniques on their children.
No, I think even more so. I mean, Indian, they're firm believers of higher education. They're probably a bit more open to what our parents were in terms of, you know, pursuing creative career options. But other than that, I think, you know, they're definitely driven and motivated by success. And
I think in some cases, even more so than our parents. Do you think so?
Well, I mean, you and I are a sort of a bit of a contrast in itself. So yeah, I think because, you know, immigrants tend to, they've got more to prove, right?
They've got more to prove, and we've just generally, immigrants have it harder, Shivani.
Yeah.
You know, I think from back in the days with our parents, it was just like, you know, when the baby would be born,
yeah,
they would say, "Mera beta engineer banega ya meri beti doctor banegi." But now, for the next generation of people being born, mm-hmm. they're like, "Mera beta engineer banega as a graduate from Harvard."
Yeah, it's getting more competitive in terms of, you know, making, emphasizing your social class, you know, by going to Yale or by going to Harvard. I think
it's more competitive, and it's, I think, more targeted competitiveness.
Yes, more targeted competitiveness.
So yes. I think most of our generations, of course, you and I would definitely, we come from a different sensibility, so we would definitely not put our children through that. But there's a lot of new immigrant parents or, you know, parents who are obsessed with how their children are, you know, sort of getting molded.
Yeah.
And it's even more so a targeted obsession than sort of what we were or what an Indian child growing up in the 80s and the 90s was put through.
Yeah.
And I think that's the reason why Indian children are you know, winning trophies all over the place, whether it is spelling bee competitions or science or like Google science fairs or NASA competitions and whatnot. Don't you think so?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, but you know, we are naturally hardworking people, right? So, you know, you see your parents as hard workers with, you know, strong work ethics. I think seeing them as a role model, as the prime example, these kids, yeah, they work towards that. They're high achievers. In fact, we're overachievers. So I'm not surprised at all that we're winning all these spelling, you know, competitions and science fairs. And
well, whether our children are overachievers or we are is the question we need to ask here, Shivani. You know, think of it this way. Would someone who is an engineer or a doctor today, and if this person got into this profession due to the force of their parents, would this person still force their children to go through the same thing that they went through?
That's actually an excellent question to leave our listeners with, Aisha. I'm sure I'm going to think about this one too. So I guess that brings us to the end of today's show. And we would love to hear your thoughts. So guys, please email us or find us on social media and let us know how you feel.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to us. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Castbox, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting app. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram for some more fun content. A review would go a long way for us. So if you have a minute, please do rate us. Thank you for listening to our podcast today. Stay tuned for our new episode next week. Till then, goodbye.